from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Wheels up, American pastor Andrew Brunson has taken off from the city of Izmir, Turkey. This is Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Indeed, you are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Center. Well, after 2 years of imprisonment, North Carolina pastor Brunson was freed earlier today. Brunson served time in prison and was subsequently put on house arrest in Turkey. You've heard the story here. We've followed it for months. And after being arrested in 2016, arrested on terror and treason charges, which he vehemently denied. FRC President Tony Perkins was in the Turkish courtroom during the hearing, along with Vice President of Policy at the Family Research Council, Travis Weber. In just a moment, we'll talk with Travis about this wonderful news. And, well, did you catch it yesterday? Live from the Oval Office, the meeting between entertainer and entrepreneur Kanye West and President Trump. As you can imagine, the criticism from the left is rampant. We'll talk with Patrice Lee, a senior policy analyst at the Independent Women's Forum, in just a little bit. And listen here, CNN's Don Lemon, well, the media meltdown began.
I'm just going to be honest, and I may get in a lot of trouble for it. I actually feel bad for him. What I saw was a minstrel show today. Him in front of all of these white people, mostly white people, embarrassing himself.
Yeah, they just can't handle a black man talking with President Trump. One of the strongest hurricanes ever to strike the U.S., Hurricane Michael, hit the Florida Panhandle as a Category 4 storm on Wednesday and has since left a destructive path in the South and Mid-Atlantic. Later in the program, we'll talk with Gary LeBlanc of Mercy Chefs. He'll bring us a live report from Panama City, Florida. And, of course, we'll take your calls later in the show. And are you keeping up with the FRC Action Values Bus? It's making its way across the country. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com for all that information. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at RJonesReports. Well, as I discussed earlier, a Turkish court convicted American pastor Andrew Brunson of terror charges and sentenced him to 3 years and 1 month in prison, but released him due to the time he already served and for good behavior. With us now is Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy of the Family Research Council. He attended Pastor Brunson's hearing in Turkey earlier today, and it's just after 5 o'clock Eastern Time and 12 midnight in Turkey. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much.
Well, this is a day many, many folks have been praying for, and wow, what an honor for you to be there. Tell us about it.
It was really fantastic and a joy to be here to see this moment ending the saga that's been so long in the making. We're familiar with this case in terms of the ongoing multiple hearings, unjust prosecution of the case. Today really marked a turning point because we saw things really shift in the courtroom. For the first time, a defense witness was allowed to testify. Then other witnesses were put forward who contradicted previous prosecution witnesses, and it really started to look like the prosecution's case was falling apart. There were multiple recesses, some for lunch, some to allow the judges to confer, and each of these really heightened the suspense, as to what are they going to do, what's going to be the result at the end of the day. Throughout the whole proceeding, there was a lot of emotion. Pastor Brunson, his wife Noreen, both very emotional at times. At one point, they hugged for a really, really long time when it wasn't clear what the outcome was going to be. Nevertheless, at the end of the day, the judges called everyone back in, despite the fact that the prosecutor put forward a long statement taking a really hard line. The judges ultimately concluded that the sentence would be reduced, and he would have his travel ban lifted, which is very key because that's the thing, the exit ban. Having that lifted allows him to leave the country. So, a great result. He was ultimately still found guilty, in spite of the fact there really was no evidence for these charges. Nevertheless, the positive result here is really what we're focused on, and definitely a day to celebrate. I know I was praying for this. Many, many others were praying for it, and we're seeing prayers answered.
You know, Travis, as the producer of this show and guest host for Tony, it's rather surreal to know that you're there, Tony's there. When we saw the clips of the convoy going to the courthouse, you could see, I could tell his arm was in front of his face by the window, but there goes Tony, man. And there's Pastor Brunson. And I know you're in that convoy as well. And explain to our listeners, they may not really understand how involved FRC has been in this process.
Yeah, so this is a case that, you know, we've highlighted for a long time in terms of raising public awareness on it, raising the issue with the White House. And, you know, this public awareness is really key to draw upon the political pressure that the United States can bring upon a country that has the power to do something, in this case, Turkey. And that pressure doesn't occur without people mobilizing and letting their elected officials know they care about a situation like this. You know, there were many, many people, many groups working on this case. The America Center for Law and Justice engaged attorneys who represented the Brunson family. Many advocates were raising the case, and many things have occurred behind the scenes which we don't know about. And so it's really a celebration of the efforts of everyone involved in contributing to the cause of religious freedom, to furthering the cause of the religious freedom worldwide. And that's something, you know, the Trump administration was a key part, the one who really was the entity, and President Trump and Vice President Pence, Secretary Pompeo, Ambassador Lars Brownback, pushed the issue over the goal line and responded to the concerns of many who had supported them and voted for them in terms of raising this issue internationally, raising it with the Turkish government. So definitely a day of celebration all around. And just one note, I was here, but I was here in my FRC capacity. Obviously, Tony is here as a USERF commissioner. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I got a little more flexibility, got to see a little more of the country, you could say.
Yeah. So explain, you were there. What was the you described a very tense environment there because you weren't sure how it was going to go. But describe for me, and I'm sure this was all not in English, you know, in their native language, but describe for us what it was like when the ruling finally came down.
Yeah, I mean, so I was had somebody helping me translate the segments of the hearing throughout the day, and so I got a sense of what was being said, and you know, could pick up other aspects of it just by the other reactions of others and the feel of the courtroom. And you know, it really was quite different from an American courtroom. One, you know, this was a large converted gymnasium of sorts. Mm-hmm. It looked like a big gym that had been converted into a courtroom. So a lot of empty space. And we were at the back, and you've got all these empty chairs. And then Pastor Brunson sitting by himself in the middle up front near the judges. There's three judges who are raised up above him with a prosecutor sitting next to them, which is unusual, sitting next to the judges. The defense attorney is down on Pastor Brunson's level, but off to the side, so they couldn't even really talk to each other. He's got prosecution witnesses on the other side. So a very unusual setup for those used to American courtrooms and, you know, had a technological feel of sorts. But then when you contrast that with the unfair way this whole proceeding has been handled, it really paints a stark picture. And, you know, added onto this was the obvious weight of the moment, the emotion of Maureen and Pastor Brunson. And, you know, the Turkish, this is a big story in Turkey. There were a lot of press there, and it was covered very intensely in Turkey. So they were there also in the back with all the spectators. And we really didn't know which way it was going to go until the end of the day. And, you know, it was like the court's fingers were snapped at the end of the day. We had the ruling, and then everyone was set in motion. But up until that point, you know, we were not sure what was going to happen.
So what was the mood? How did people respond in the courtroom?
Well, you know, Pastor Brunson was obviously elated, as was Noreen. You know, there was no whooping and hollering and shouting or anything like that. But, you know, you had a quick, you know, some discussion following the hearing of what this would mean, and amongst everyone as the officials filed out, and just a real sense of excitement and eagerness to look onward towards the next step. And so, you know, there were a lot of press outside, a lot of press in the hearing, who kind of followed everyone out. And then you had a lot of cameras set up, a lot of press outside the main gate of this complex where it was, you know, a courtroom, but in a prison complex of sorts. And a lot of press out there wanting a glimpse, wanting to interview Pastor Brunson's attorney, a lot of Turkish press. And there was just a lot of activity throughout the day, but especially when the ruling came down.
Mm-hmm. You know, Travis, I can't recall how many years. I think he's been in Turkey for like 23 years and really a pillar of the Christian community there in Turkey. But we were elated to get the positive news this morning, but probably like you all, it's not until he's on that plane and wheels up that we're really celebrating. And of course that happened. And now he's on his way to Germany, I understand, for a brief medical check. Is that right?
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, we know that he's leaving the country. You know, the all the details of that, I'm not sure of. You know, we'll see what happens, but we do know he is out of here, and that is the important thing when you kind of look at this long saga and how it's played out. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to some members of the church and their church here in Izmir, and then some members of the church back in North Carolina that the Brunsons attended, and there are many of these folks in support, quietly supporting him here, standing in solidarity and praying for him, and showing their support by traveling over here for this hearing. And you know, it was really neat and encouraging to be able to interact with some of those folks who have not been in the public line, public eye, public spotlight as much. And you know, for a lot of that, life will go on as normal. And for Pastor Brunson, it's been forever changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's just amazing to hear this story, and it'll be important for us to continue to pray for Pastor Brunson and his family. But and as we have heard, he has forgiven those who testified against him and stated earlier, it's a privilege to suffer for the sake of Christ. And that's just part of our walk as a Christian. And Travis, I'm sure you've been changed too. This has been a big opportunity for you, and I'm proud of you, and I appreciate the work you've done and keeping us all informed.
Thanks, Russ. Yeah, I mean, it was an amazing experience to see. And, you know, Pastor Brunson, when called upon to defend himself at court today, at times he kept his answers succinct, respectful, and firmly in defense of his innocence. You know, just at one point claiming, "I am innocent," to the court, and you know, proclaiming his love for the Turkish people, desire to serve them and care for them by pastoring his church, and that's been his consistent public defense throughout. Very important, and you know, quite an example for us.
Well, Travis, we're out of time. God bless you. Thank you so much. And we'll look forward to hugging on your neck when you get home, and safe travels.
Thank you very much.
Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy of the Family Research Center, live with us from Izmir, also known by another name familiar to Christians worldwide, Ephesus. You're listening to Washington Watch. This is Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Coming up next, rapper and entertainer Kanye West seriously rattled the left following his meeting with President Trump in the Oval Office yesterday. We'll talk with policy analyst Patrice Lee when we return. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com for all of this great content. It's Friday. Shabbat Shalom. We'll be back in just a moment.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for his kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You are listening to Washington Watch. Russ Jones here, happily sitting in for Tony Perkins. Tony is in Turkey, along with our own Travis Weber. They have been very much involved with this great news coming about Pastor Andrew Brunson. Well, rapper, entertainer, and entrepreneur Kanye West met with President Trump in the Oval Office yesterday, and the mainstream media just went into full-on meltdown over the meeting. Well, why? Let's be honest. Don't want to understate it, but it's because a well-known black man was meeting with President Trump, and the talking points simply don't line up with the talking points of the left. It doesn't match up with the groupthink. Kanye West isn't allowed to think on his own. Let's listen to what Kanye had to say yesterday.
If he don't look good, we don't look good. This is our president. He has to be the freshest, the flyest planes, the best factories, and we have to make our core be in power. We have to bring jobs into America. The liberal will try to control a black person through the concept of racism because they know that we are very proud, emotional people.
And, of course, listen to what the left had to say.
I'm just going to be honest, and I may get in a lot of trouble for it. I feel bad for him. What I saw was a minstrel show today. Him in front of all of these white people, mostly white people, embarrassing himself.
Wow.
Because that was an assault on our White House.
You can't analyze some of that stuff that was said.
They need to grab him and snatch him up and get Kanye together because Kanye needs help. And this has nothing to do with being liberal or conservative.
And when I say left, I mean the mainstream media that leans so far to the left they can't hardly be objective. With us now is Patrice Lee. She's a senior policy analyst at the Independent Women's Forum and has worked in the advocacy and communications fields for more than a decade. Patrice, welcome back to Washington Watch. Patrice, are you there?
Sorry about that, Russ. It's great to be on. I was on mute just now.
All right. Good to have you here. Not sure if you saw heard that setup there and the various clips, but
yes,
you know, you, if I'm correct, you are a Caribbean a woman of Caribbean descent, and you can speak articulately on so many issues. And I've heard you've been speaking on this topic. Just what's your general thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so I'm a black woman, naturalized citizen, born in the Caribbean. And I am an independent thinking woman. And I've been pleased to see Kanye West come out and say it is okay to be independent thinking. You know, the left and the media, particularly the black elites in the media, their hair was on fire when they even heard that Kanye West would be going to the White House, specifically with an agenda, not just for a photo op, but to actually talk about bringing manufacturing jobs to Chicago, talking about criminal justice reform and a couple of other issues. And I think it's not just that he's not singing from the same Democratic church book. It's that if President Trump, working with Kanye West, are able to even bring 1,000 jobs to South and West Chicago and put people to work, and inform some institute some criminal justice reform that actually benefits the black community, then all of a sudden you are going to have a great awakening within the black community that, hey, the policies on the left, these progressive policies that are meant to keep us dependent on government and dependent on politicians, actually don't work. It's actually greater freedom, free markets, less taxes, deregulation. These are the things that work, and this is the president that made it happen.
You know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it really seems to me that being black and conservative is an absolute moral, to use biblical terms, a sin to the media. I mean, to listen to Don Lemon on CNN, he's so smug about it, and he's so condescending to the audience. I can hardly watch it. Just can't hardly watch it.
Well, I'm sure you all, you and your guests and the listeners out there saw the CNN clip that Don Lemon had with a panel of including two black commentators, one Bakari Sellers, who said that this is what happens when Negroes don't read, and said, I hate this anti-intellectualism. And then the conservative woman on the panel, I put that in parentheses, in quotation marks, Tara Settmeyer, she talked about him being a token Negro for the Trump administration. I mean, if this was said on certain other network, everyone's hair would be on fire. It is totally intolerable. It is unacceptable for black people to talk about other black people like that, for anybody to talk about, to disparage anyone else. But I think it exposes, number one, there is so much elitism, particularly among black media pundits and black media people, blacks in media, as well as black politicians, and they look down on anyone who is not, you know, an ivory tower, thinker like I guess President Obama was. And number two, they are scared. They are scared that someone like Kanye West, who has massive influence, not just with blacks, but with everyone, but he is saying what they don't want him to say, which is that actually this administration can do a lot for blacks. And what do you have to lose? You actually have a whole lot to gain.
You know, Patrice, I work really hard to look past the skin color. This may sound weird, but it's not until folks tell me, oh, you know, I'm white, you're black or whatever. I work really hard to embrace interracial relationships. Isn't that a good thing?
It should be. But, you know, again, it seems like I've been told this. I've been called a house Negro. I've been called Uncle Tom. You know, I've been called a lot of things. And I guess I will wear those names as badges of honor if it means that I can be a voice to a lot of blacks who also tell me, you know what, Patrice, I agree with you. I totally am in line with you. But I can't really say that out loud. And so just as when in 2016 we saw the kind of the silent Trump voter, there's also the silent black conservative voice, the people who feel like in their communities, in their churches, in their families, you can't say, hey, I voted for President Trump, or, hey, I actually like the tax cuts. I think it's a great idea. And so I think slowly you'll see this start to change. And that is what is scary to the Democratic Party, because the black base is the foundation of their party.
Patrice, we're out of time. Thank you so much, and thanks for standing up and speaking your own voice. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for being on Washington
Watch. Thank you for having me on.
Well, coming up next, the destruction from Hurricane Michelle stretches for miles in Florida's panhandle. When we return, we'll go to Panama City, where Gary LeBlanc and his Mercy Chef's team has deployed to help those in need and first responders. I'm Russ Jones. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
It's Friday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. Well, the death toll from Hurricane Michael has jumped to at least 13, and FEMA Administrator Brock Long said he expects that number to continue to rise. And as of this broadcast, roughly 1 million utility customers from Florida to Virginia were without power. Just listen to this desperate woman.
It looks like a war zone. This has been, I don't even know if I had the words to describe it. It's been the worst nightmare I've ever been through in my life.
And it is a nightmare. Mexico Beach, where the eye of the storm hit, rescue crews are searching rubble for victims. And FEMA says some areas are too dangerous to travel. And Mercy Chefs has deployed to the area to help the victims and first responders of Hurricane Michael. Mercy Chefs, good folks. They serve up real food to folks that are working on the ground. And one of the biggest concerns when volunteers go in to help in this kind of situation is, where are they going to sleep? Where are they going to take care of their humanly needs? And how are they going to eat? And Mercy Chefs helps fulfill one really big element of that. We love these folks. Joining us now, live from Panama City, is Gary LeBlanc, founder and president of Mercy Chefs. Gary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you for having us on. It's been quite a few days down here.
Brother, you must be tired. You've been going from one hurricane disaster site to another. I understand you are set up at the Destiny Worship Center in Panama City Beach. Is that right?
That's right, and we're sending food out into all the surrounding areas. We have our big kitchen that's going to arrive late tonight. We'll actually be setting up a second location, all while we're still running a third location up in South Carolina doing long-term recovery from Florence.
And, you know, I've vacationed in that area. I know that area very, very well, and I can only imagine what it looks like there based on the pictures I'm seeing.
It's unbelievable. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff over the 12 years, but this was, there are places that look like more Oklahoma or Joplin, from the tornadoes, and even Rockport, Texas last year, where it just sort of ground things up. And the swath, I mean, that it was a hurricane so far inland. I mean, there are places in Georgia that are just as destroyed as here on the Gulf.
So you're set up there. Help describe for our folks how you work, and you have real chefs, executive chefs that come volunteer their time.
Well, we arrived 2 days ago and pre-staged in Pensacola. We endured near hurricane force winds there. And as soon as the storm passed, we began moving our equipment and our teams in to ground zero. We will move into ground zero tomorrow. We'll actually be right on the edge of Mexico Beach. There's just nothing really there to serve, though. We have three beautiful mobile kitchens. We come in with our own refrigerated box trucks with mainline groceries and some incredible chefs that volunteer with us from all over the country. And that is Mercy Chef's forte. We do chef-prepared, handcrafted, high-quality meals in some very, very difficult circumstances.
And I understand that hospitals have even been evacuated in the devastated areas, and choppers are dropping in water and food to a hospital that's been isolated there. And it's still not safe for some people to return home. So you are providing a very, very needed service when folks are just at their wit's end.
Well, here in Panama City Beach, the water had to be turned off today because of broken mains. So the entire city is without water right now. So you can imagine that doubled the need for us tonight to get dinner. I mean, folks just can't do anything at home. You know, if you don't have power, that's bad. But once you lose water, it is just paralyzing. Fortunately, we have our water purification unit with us, and we were able to get a couple tanks of water. So we're good to go here. But it is a difficult, difficult situation.
Well, many have described the aftermath as apocalyptic, particularly in Florida, where the cities were left in ruins, where you are. Is that a fair description?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair description. I mean, we have seen places that have just suffered unimaginable damage. I mean, this storm, I mean, you know, you think of a Cat 4 and near Cat 5, you're talking about an EF3 or an EF4 tornado. Only it's 40 or 60 miles wide, and it comes with water and debris. It's indescribable, some of the things we've seen in the last 2 days.
Now, Gary, in order to feed quality chef-prepared meals, you need support. How can people help?
People can go to our website. That's mercychefs.com, www.mercychefs.com. And there are links on there how you can volunteer with us and how you can support us financially.
Well, Gary, thank you so very much. I'm going to let you get back to work. I appreciate you being with us. Please stay safe, and you are definitely in our prayers. And folks, Mercy Chefs, when you donate to Mercy Chefs, it's going to folks directly. Gary, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. And just know what you do give today is touching somebody tonight.
Very good word. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. That's Mercy Chefs, Gary LeBlanc. And what you give today is helping somebody tonight. That is indeed true. I have put on a chef's jacket. I have helped these folks in the disaster areas. I know firsthand what they're doing. Well, let's go to the phone lines next. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Hey, Kanye West said when he puts on that red hat, makes him feel like Superman. Has President Trump made us courageous again? Give us a call.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Round and third, heading towards home. Russ Jones here, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Indeed, you're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You know, Kanye West yesterday said when he puts on that red Making America Great Again hat, he feels like Superman. And that may sound like an odd statement, but I sometimes wonder if President Trump has given conservatives some backbone. You know, we've been hearing the Democrats, the Dems lately, say we've got to get stronger in fighting back. Well, from my opinion, after 40-some years in this business and in politics, the Democrats have always played this game better. The subversive, rogue, political stuff. And conservatives are often the adults in the room. The ones that can hold their own in a conversation and be okay with someone that has a different worldview than their own. They may not agree with it, but the Democrats have always stuck together. But it seems to me, when I see these rallies across the country, it seems to me that President Trump has made folks courageous again and given conservatives a backbone, and I don't think the left is, frankly, used to that. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Shelley in Texas. Hi, Shelley.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to sing praises to our gracious Lord and all of the people who work so hard to see to it that Pastor Brunson was released from having been incarcerated under false accusations and charges. I know that There were several Christian legal organizations who helped, and I also know that our good President Donald J. Trump worked very hard to achieve his release, and so I'm thankful and rejoicing. And I would like to use this opportunity to encourage Christians to continue to pray for Asia Bibi and Pastor Ned Arcani and others who are still incarcerated for their faith.
That's a very, very good point. But just dancing in the streets, Shelley, wouldn't you agree that we serve an amazing God and that there are people like the Family Research Council and these legal organizations you mentioned that get up every day to push back and to fight and to hold the banner against religious persecution?
Yes, sir. And there was one other thing I wanted to tell you, and that is a lot of times you end the program with, if the waters don't rise, you'll be back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And most people don't know that, Lord willing and the creek don't rise, that saying isn't about rising water. It's about the uprisings of the Creek Indians.
I know that, and that so I don't say it. That's why I don't say it that way.
Well, but that, then you are correct. That was just a little historical point that I learned along my way that I think is fascinating to know where the sayings come from.
Shelley, you're absolutely, and I'm fascinated where these sayings come from. And when I was saying that, I'm going to research that and make sure I'm not saying anything that, I really don't want to be connected to. And I found that out a few months ago. And I found that to be pretty interesting because I didn't know that that's where that saying came from.
Well, it was one of my favorite sayings, and I don't know, I said it to somebody and they said, that's not talking about rising water. It's not?
No, it's the Creek Indians. So that's why I don't say the creek. If the creek don't rise, I say when the waters don't rise. So Shelley in Texas, thank you so much. God bless you. Can hear a joyful spirit in there. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You know, when I was seeing the news about Pastor Brunson being released, I got emotional because this has been such a long journey. And there are folks that are out there proclaiming the gospel, putting their life every day on the line, and his family, and so many people have been praying for this. And then to see the news, and then to see the cars go by, and to know FRC President Tony Perkins was sitting right next to Pastor Brunson. I knew it was him. He had his arm up. Couldn't tell, but I knew it was him. And to know that an organization like the Family Research Council has invested so much and does so much work, and there are so many good people that are standing in the gap, standing strong and encouraging others to stand strong. That's really what this is all about. And when we hear all of this craziness going on in our culture, and the just people seem to be oblivious to civility anymore. All we can do is pray. All we can do is pray and to stand and to fight and to sing praises like David. There's a reason why we know more about King David than any other person in the Bible. It's because he was a man after God's own heart, and we reflect David in a lot of ways. And it was a powerful moment when it really hit me that Jesus was in the direct lineage from King David. Let's go to Dwight in North Carolina. Hi, Dwight.
Hi, this is Dwight from North Dakota. How are you
Dwight
doing?
In North Dakota. How are you doing, Dwight?
I'm praising God for the release of Pastor Brunson. But I also had a question about the Kanye West story. It was a post that I saw on Facebook, a guy that I follow, and it's something that he said. I'm not a statistician, so I can't, speak to this, and I wondered if maybe you could, if you had heard this particular thing or not. He was saying that the reason that the left is so terrified by this is that he said if the black vote shifts by so much as 3 points, then the Democrats will never win another election.
Yeah, and that would make sense. That would make total sense. And what I've seen along the way, and you know, it shouldn't be so controversial of a topic, but nobody wants to be pigeonholed. Wouldn't you agree, Dwight? Who wants to be pigeonholed into?
Absolutely.
You are supposed to believe a certain way because your skin's a certain color. And I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri. That's my hometown. I went through the race riots of the 70s. I went to a very urban school in Kansas City, Missouri, and we figured it out. And, you know, now I live in Mississippi in the South, and folks go to work, do their thing, and they simply want to raise their families and provide. And that's not respective to skin color, in my opinion.
Absolutely not. You're right.
What do you think when Kanye said it makes me feel like Superman? Do you feel like conservatives that have gotten a little more bolder and a little more courageous in standing up?
I think that they have. I think that you know, Tony was saying during the primaries when it became clear that that Donald Trump was going to be the nominee for President Trump, and he was saying that, you know, that it is the result of conservatives getting louder because they were tired of being pushed into the corner.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dwight in North Dakota, thank you so much. I know it's probably starting to get cold up your way. Appreciate your support and tuning in all the way up north there to Washington Watch.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. You know something kind of interesting when we were talking about Izmir, Turkey, where the court hearing was. Why was Ephesus so significant for early Christianity? Izmir is the same as Ephesus. In part, this had to do with the prominence of the city in the first century, and its central location along the coast of Asia Minor, the modern-day Turkey. But more importantly, Ephesus attracted many influential Christian leaders, including Paul and John and Timothy. And Ephesus claims to be that last place where Mary, the mother of Jesus, lived, though the historical evidence for this is a bit mixed at best. But I find that very fascinating. An important part of this story and this situation about what's been going on. Let's go to Ken in Maryland. Hi, Ken. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Russ. Hi. Yeah, this is Ken. Hey, I want to tell you, I have my Make America Great Again hat on. I've been wearing it around all day. I've been doing that for, I don't know, since 4th of July when my son gave it to me. I loved it to see Kanye West wearing his there in a meeting with President Trump. And I also liked the clip that you played that was by Kanye West during that meeting. It was different from some of the others I've heard on AFR today. And it was a really good statement of his about how black people can get out of the mold and the expectation that they're going to back liberals with an agenda that isn't really helping them or their community or anybody else for that matter. That was great to hear. It was good to see him. I watched a couple videos with him in it talking to President Trump. And that woman that you had on, Patrice Williams, was it?
Patrice Lee.
Patrice Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciated hearing her commentary on the whole thing, too. Very intelligent. Lots of common sense there, and I'm glad that you're getting that message. You're helping her get that message out there for people to hear. It's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Ken and Marilyn. Appreciate your support and appreciate you calling in today. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joe in Ohio.
Hi, Russ. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to just reiterate, yeah, thank God for Pastor Brunson's release, and I don't believe he would have been released if it wasn't for the hard work of the president and the president's staff. And I believe that President Trump has instilled some pride back into America. We've lost a lot of pride, as you listen to Sean Hannity's stats every night. You know, we had 14 million Americans on food stamps, 48 million mm-hmm. Americans in poverty, and that's changed in the last 2 years. And I believe he has inspired a lot of the establishment. Or Susan Collins or Mitch McConnell or Lindsey Graham, they're establishment Republicans without a doubt, and they have finally grown a backbone over the last few weeks. And we got to, as Christian conservatives, we've got to get out and vote. We cannot be complacent. Otherwise, these last 2 years will be wiped out. We've got to get out and support the conservative Christians, the pro-life Christians. We're getting rid of a lot of the rhinos, the flakes, the corkers, and the others. But we got to support the Christians, and we got 25 right. days to do it. So God bless all you do.
All right. Thank you. God bless you, Joe. Let's go to Evelyn real quick in Indiana. Hi, Evelyn.
Hey,
Evelyn.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to one thing.
I really
like our president. He is doing a fabulous job. I've already voted. I didn't know you could vote early. So this is to tell people that don't know it. You can vote early.
Yeah. Early voting is a big part.
I did,
yeah. but that is a good word for our listeners. You've already voted for the midterms.
Great Republican.
Okay. Well, Evelyn, thank you so much for calling in Indiana. Real quick, let's go to Charlinda in Texas. Hi, Charlinda.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm blessed. Thank you so much.
This release of Pastor Brunson is a result of a lot of hard, hard, stringent prayers for him and his family for his release. And we are watching God's hand at work in this country. And the Republicans better wake up and realize what could be lost if the Democrats take America back again. Because all this hard work, I mean, God is going to stay and, give us favor if we continue to pray and be righteous and stand up for him. We're not afraid to stand up for him. And I wanted to make a comment about all the last seven churches in Revelation are all in Turkey. So this is kind of interesting that that's where he was being held. And I just found that to be kind of, maybe prophetic, I hope.
Yeah. Absolutely. Charlinda, thank you so much, and you have a blessed weekend, okay? That was Charlinda in Texas, and it is Friday. Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. You've been listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Indeed, it has been a pleasure to be with you, and we thank you so much for your support, and couldn't happen. FRC could not exist if not for your support. And you can follow everything that's going on at TonyPerkins.com. And folks, on this Friday, Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar. Indeed, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And if the Lord tarries, my friends, indeed we will see you on Monday. God bless.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.